Good morning. My brethren and I would like to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we look forward to this hour of worship together. And we expect that you've each one made preparation before coming here. There is one change in the bulletin that I would like to bring your attention to. Brother Harold Sharkey, he is feeling under the weather. And I know that there's some stuff going around and we may be missing a few others here today. So if you would, please remember him and those others that are under the weather. And of course, remember those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We greet you and we look forward to this day of worship. And the sun is shining. It's been mild out and it's nice. And today we have with us Brother Ray Wheeler. And we've enjoyed getting to know him and his wife as they've come here to worship with us. And I look forward to, and I'm sure you do too, look forward to the coming ministry that he will be bringing to us. So I would ask that you would remember him in your prayers in the moments leading up to him occupying this sacred desk. For our call to worship, I have selected scripture around the scripture theme for today, and that is taken from Revelation chapter 21. And I will begin in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And turning over to chapter 22, verses 5 through 7. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his record, and may the Lord bless us now in our time of worship.
Thank you. Our Father who art in heaven, it is in the name of thine only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ, that we gather now, Father, in this time of solemn worship. And truly we pray, Father, that the time for the coming of thy Son may be soon, even as we have sung. And may he even come among us now in this hour, Father, through the power and presence of the Holy Ghost. We seek now, Father, that thou might consecrate this time together for the welfare of our souls, and that all that we do and say might be for thy glory and bring praise and honor unto thee. Please be with our good brother Ray, Father, as he brings that message which we know thou hast placed upon his heart. And will you open each of our hearts and minds that we might be in tune with the leadings of thy Spirit and blessed with the gift of discernment. And be with us now, Father, through this hour, we ask very humbly, in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
So Brother Justin contacted me last night asking for me to fill in for Mr. Sharkey this morning, and I just planned on saying a simple little prayer before the offertory, but as I've been sitting up here, the Spirit has moved upon my heart, and it's opened my eyes to a new perspective that I want to share with you. Take a moment and consider the commandments that God has given us regarding money, particularly how it's supposed to be used to meet the needs of the poor, to help feed the hungry, clothe the naked, that kind of thing. Now, I'm going to reference a couple of scriptures here, and I don't have my scriptures up with me because preparation is my middle name. But there's a scripture in the Book of Mormon where Nephi tells us that God does not give us anything to do unless he first prepares a way for us to accomplish it. Now, going back to the commandments that we have about money and what it's to be used for, the offertory today is a sort of preparation for that work. And that was a new perspective for me, something I'd never seen before. And I hope it opens your eyes a little bit, too, to what you're doing when you put that money in that plate is you are laying the foundation for God's work to happen in someone else's life. Would you bow with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you've given unto us. And Lord, I ask that your Spirit and your angels would attend us, and that you would bless the people that work with this money, Lord, that it will go to the purposes that you would have it go to, that we would fulfill the commandments that you have given us regarding these funds. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to always remember to keep an eye single to your glory and to build your kingdom first above all things that we do. And in Jesus Christ's most holy name, amen.
For my scripture reading this morning, it's kind of a continuation of what Brother Justin has read, and it's found in the 46 Psalms, verse 1, 4, 5, and 10. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Yea, there shall be a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. For Zion shall come, and God shall be in her midst, and of her she shall not be moved. God shall help her right early. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the brethren. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Precious truth so long withheld.
Thank you, ladies. It's good to be with you this morning and to share with you. I see my wife has been busy talking to our children. And my daughters are here this morning. It's been a while since they've heard the old man speak. And it's good to have them here. If any of you are parents, you might know why I'm weeping. And I think as I think of my feelings toward having those who I love so dearly here this morning, how my Lord must feel when he sees us as we come here to worship him and to praise him and to draw nearer to him. What a wonderful feeling it is to know our God. I was moved this morning as, and it shouldn't be, but I am. Justin and I haven't talked about what I might say this morning, but the hymns are perfect, and it so happens so often that the Lord moves before us if we come before him in prayer. I want to read to you, to begin with, out of section 108, beginning with verse 2. Wherefore prepare ye, O my people, sanctify yourselves, gather ye together, O you people of my church, upon the land of Zion, all you that have not been commanded to tarry. Go ye out from Babylon, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. Call your solemn assemblies and speak often one with another. And let every man call upon the name of the Lord. Yea, verily I say unto you again, the time has come when the voice of the Lord is unto you. Go ye out from Babylon, gather ye from among the nations, from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. I believe that scripture. I believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet. And that these words that are contained within these three books are the Word of God. In Isaiah 24:25. For behold, I am God, and I'm a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. In 1972, I was happened to be the pastor of a branch in Camas, Washington. And we had a witnessing weekend, and that was the beginning of the time that witnessing weekends were just beginning. And we had a speaker. I was, of course, the local captain, and we had a visiting captain. And the visiting captain happened to be Jim Lorenzen, who was a 70 in the church. And some of you who are from the central Washington area probably knew Jim because that was his assignment. But anyway, his message to us on the Sunday morning was, are you where God wants you to be? Well, I was pretty sure that I was where God wanted me to be, or wouldn't have been there. But anyway, we as a family began to pray, is this where God wants us to be? And and one of the reasons for reading that scripture saying God is the same yesterday, today, and forever is he spoke to his people throughout history. And he spoke to Joseph Smith, and he spoke to many, and he spoke to some of you here, right here in the branch. Brother Joe talked about last week the Lord speaking with him and directing his life. And so we began to pray about whether we should, we were where God wanted us to be. And one Sunday morning, I believe it was in like April, I happened to be in charge of the communion service, and I was praying to the Lord about, you know, the day and what was going on. And then I was called to the priesthood as a deacon shortly after I was baptized. And then I was called to the office of priest, and then I was called to the office of elder. And somehow in my soul, I never felt like, Lord, how can you use a piece of junk like this? And I still recognize I'm a mere man and not much of a man without the power and presence of the Lord in my life. And I made lots of mistakes. But that morning, as I continued to pray and think about the service that we were about to enter into, I was standing putting my tie on in the mirror, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I have called you to Zion, even as I have called you to my holy priesthood. I have called you to Zion. I have chosen you. You haven't chosen me. So the decision then was not very difficult. We made arrangements, made a trip back here, had some friends back here that we stayed with. And of course, one of my experiences was when I was with them was there used to be a Quick Trip sits there on the corner of Nolan and 23rd Street. There used to be a Safeway store there when we came. And I'm sitting there in front of that Safeway store, and I'm seeing the guys, people coming out with their beer and their cigarettes and stuff, and I'm thinking, this is Zion. You know, and so we've made arrangements with a realtor here to show us some places, and she showed us a few places, and we told her, well, you know, we want to rent for a while, and so it doesn't have to be, you know, I'm pretty handy with my hands, it doesn't have to be in very good shape, we don't mind doing a little work on it. But we went back home and put our house up for sale. Now, would you believe, the first person that came to that house was a young fellow. His dad owned the Ford dealership there in Camas where we live. Noni said, the guy come and looked at our house today, but he isn't interested. And the realtor called me back that evening and said, he wants your house. He didn't try to Jew us down or anything. He just said he'd pay us what we were asking for it. First guy, the most unlikely person that ever that would have wanted to buy that house, bought it. So that was part of our preparation and process of coming to Zion. And when we did get here, And my girls will testify, the house that the lady had looked up for us not only needed a little work, it just plain needed rebuilt. It needed a lot of work on it. So we decided, no, we're not going to do that. We spent 6 days out here in the Queen City Motel on 24 Highway on our knees. And we bought a house over on the north side of south side of I-70. And no job. But we were able to get a loan. Of course, it helped that we had the proceeds from our house out in Washington, so they couldn't really lose a whole lot. I stood to lose more than they did. But anyway, the point is the Lord was in it every step of the way. I'll go back to that house that we sold in 1962. Noni and I filed our first tithing statement. A short time later, we had looked around us, and we were just country people, and we loved to be in the country, but we're too old to live in the country anymore. Some of you guys are still old and still in the country. But anyway, I was looking around for some property, and there's all kinds of property available. But we found this place that was 200, well, I could buy all I wanted. But I bought 6 acres. And out of the 6 acres, it was 1,320 feet long and 200 feet deep. 6 lots. We built a house on that lot, the one that we sold. I sold the lot to a friend and built a house on it for him. The long story short, the blessings that the Lord bestowed on us from the day after we paid our tithing, after we filed our tithing statement, is unbelievable. I mean, those of you who believe in the Lord and know the Lord know that it isn't unbelievable, because He blesses you if you respond to His words and obey His commandments. He will bless you. And like I say, we bought a house in Independence. It's been a tremendous, tremendous experience knowing the Lord and having His blessings. Twice this month already, both when Brother Jim spoke and back when Brother Bill spoke earlier in the month, we were referred to chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. And let me just read the 36th through the 41st verse of the book of Matthew. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and tuck thee in, or naked, and clothe thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as as you have done it unto one of the, excuse me, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Said, and we also talked about which is the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. of the gifts that I have. I have learned to recognize that I have a love for the Lord's people. And it's not, I look about around the world and I see all the things that's going on. I see people that are close to me. I see things happening and I'm thinking, Lord, how can this be? And I'm sure some of you have had the same experiences when you've lost a loved one or something where you said, Lord, why? How come this is happening to me? And, we have to realize that God has a plan for each of us. That each of us is special in His sight. You know, I heard it explained one time when an artist draws a picture, he draws the picture, and when he's through, he looks at it and he admires the picture and he says that it's good. It's good. He likes what he sees. But each one of you are a drawing or a picture to our God. And when he is through with you, he said, it's good. I like what I see. Each one of you are special to Him. Each one of the God has a plan for each of us. And a song that I heard, and in fact, Noni and I replayed the video just a couple of days ago. It's hard to figure out the mysteries and the workings of our Lord and our Savior, except that we know that He is. He is in charge. He's the one who has our lives. I was just thinking of this person that I was thinking of who just recently passed away. Her name was Joy Feek. And some of you know of Joy. Joy and Rory. But beautiful voice, unbelievable voice. And loved the Lord and had her life in the Lord. And the Lord took her home. And the thought that came to me is now she's singing in the heavenly choir and rejoicing because of the love of her God. So, you know, when we lose a loved one like that, it's hard on us. The pain of it is. I had the opportunity to talk with a close friend of mine after his wife passed away. And the thought came to me that this is the best day in the rest of her life. No more pain, no more suffering. And so God, you know, even though sometimes we say, God, where are you? And we find out He's there all the time. He's always been there, and He's still there. And He is mindful of each of our needs. Another scripture in the book of Doctrine and Covenants that brings me comfort often, because I realize who I am, and I have never forgot who I am and where I came from. And I look back on my life and see how much the Lord has blessed me from day to day. From the time I grew up in a very poor family. Didn't have to be, but my dad was not a very good business person. And so I know what it is to wear shoes with cardboard in the sole, inside so your feet isn't touching the ground, and how it feels to wear your brother's used and worn out coveralls or bib overalls. And so for the first several years of my life, that was my life. I'm the second of seven children. So, and through much of my school years I never went to the, until I was a junior in high school, I never went to the same school 2 years in a row. I went to the school a school more than 2 years, but never at the same school 2 years in a row, because my dad was moving from place to place. So, but at this one particular school that I went to, they were not big people, but there was four or five of them, and they were bullies. And, you know, of course, when you have a kid that's in worn out blue overalls, he's an easy target for bullies, because all of them were much better off than I was. And so, and as I look back on that, so what was the purpose of that? Why did I have to endure that? In fact, at one school I was at, a bunch of guys come along and had, this is in Kennewick, Washington, and some of you guys are familiar where Kennewick is. A bunch of guys come along for no reason other than probably how I looked, picked me up and put me head first into a trash can. And I say, why did that happen to me? Well, it's given me empathy. When I see someone in those kinds of conditions, I have empathy for them. I want to help them. I want to help them to have a better life. And so it's all part of God's plan to begin with. So let me read to you from section 1 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity that should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, and spoke unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world. And all this that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophets, the weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones. That man shall not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, even the Savior of the world. Well, I kind of classify myself as a weak thing. And like I said, I could never picture why the Lord would take someone like me and call him to the priesthood. I have my patriarchal blessing and I'd read part of it to you, but I won't take the time to do that today. Or maybe I will. We'll see. But anyway, when the Lord spoke to me and told me he called me to Zion, and that he had called me to his holy priesthood, it made it different. It was comforting. Sometimes it's hard to get this. It was comforting to me to know that, yes, that he had called me. And one of the scriptures that that we learned as we were preparing to go to Kirtland with a group of young people. Behold, I am a disciple. These are the words of Mormon. Behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I have been called of him to declare his word among his people, that they might have everlasting life. And so I felt that is my calling, to declare his word among his people that they might have everlasting life. Hearken, O ye elders of my church, this is section 57, beginning in verse 1. Hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, who has assembled yourselves together according to my commandments in this land, which is the land of Missouri, which is the land which I appointed and consecrated for the gathering of the saints. Wherefore this land is a promised land and a place for the city of Zion. And thus saith the Lord your God, if you will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is a center place, and the spot for the temple is lying westward upon the on a lot which is not far from the courthouse. I believed that, and I still believe that. There's been three times in my life where I felt that I heard this, the Spirit of the Lord speak directly to me. Other times I have received strong portions of the Spirit. But three times that the Lord has spoken to me. This, the first one was the one I already told you about. The second one was when our grandkids were, all five of our grandkids graduated from CPRS. Two of them, or three of them, were already going to CPRS, and two of them had not gone there yet, and had gone to youth camp, met a bunch of kids from youth camp, and had the feeling that they might want to go to CPRS. So we made it a matter of prayer. And we prayed very earnestly about it. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that those kids, my grandchildren, would go to CPRS. And the CPRS was a stepping stone for Zion. And I was really pleased when we were working on the budget last week that you had appropriated the amount of money you did for CPRS. Because I still believe, even though not all of my grandkids have stayed faithful to this gospel, I still believe that the opportunity is there for many other kids, young people, children, to draw nearer to the Lord and to grasp onto this movement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that it's a part of establishing the kingdom of Zion. And we need not only CPRS for whatever we can do for our young people, because the young people are, I was one once, and I was told that we were the future of the church, and that statement is still true. We need to, you know, our foremost and most important thing that we can do as a branch is to see that our children receive every opportunity and every chance they can to verify and witness the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Every one of them is a precious vessel in His sight. You know, I have lots of favorites in the Book of Mormon, and I like King Benjamin. King Benjamin is one of my favorite people, and Moroni also is one of my favorite people. But just read or listen to what King Benjamin told his people. Behold, you have called me your king. And if I, whom you call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another? And behold also, I, whom you call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet has been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, how had you ought to thank your heavenly King. I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all the thanks and praise which your whole soul, which your whole souls have power to possess, to that God who created you, and hath kept and preserved you, and has caused that you should rejoice, and has granted that ye should have peace one with another. I say unto you, that if you would serve him who has created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day, has created you and is with you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say unto you, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, and yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he has promised you that if you would keep his commandments, ye would prosper in the land. And he doth not vary from that which he has said. Therefore, if you keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And also in the first place, he has created you and granted unto you your lives, for which you are indebted to him. And I could continue to read those words. But I think that says so much to us. And then in Moroni, yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. This is 10:29. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves from all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. What a marvelous opportunity we have to be in the presence of God and to serve him. I had some other testimonies that I could share with you, and perhaps another day I'll have an opportunity to do that, of how God has blessed my life, how I've seen him bless other people's lives, and how wonderful it is to be able to come together. Now, I know probably all of you have either been to a youth camp or a reunion or somewhere where you have spent a week together. And in that week, you felt the presence of the Lord, and you hated to go back home and back to the, you know, because just in a few days you start, the world starts crowding back in, the job, the school, or whatever it is, starts to creep back in. Noni and I had, and I will share, had an opportunity to take a group of young people to Kirtland Temple back in about 1975. We spent 6 months or more, maybe a whole year, preparing to go to Kirtland. Every week we met together, and we had Henry Schaefer was our men. Some of you know Henry. Some of you sat under his ministry. He was a patriarch in the church. Great man. In fact, he wasn't driving at the time, so I'd drive over to his house over here, pick him up and take him back to our house. And I've shared the testimony before. Every time when we would go from my house back to his house, there was a presence in the car with us. We weren't there alone. It's just him and I that you could look around and see, but there was a presence in the car with us. We spent, we had 35, and also Tommy Thomas came a number of times and talked to us, because those of you know Thomas, Tommy, he grew up in Kirtland, and so he had a lot of good stories about what around the temple, how they, as young kids, they would play in the graveyard, and how they would, if you remember what Kirtland Temple looks like, it has these, it's kind of like a zipper on the, each corner of the building. They would climb up those on the side of the temple, as you might imagine what a young boy would do. But that isn't, that was just a side. In fact, one other little story that Tommy told, he said one of the first sermons that he preached in the temple was, I don't recall what the topic was, but after he was finished, one of the ladies who made sure that everything was correct that came from up front came to him after the service, and she says, "Little boats should not get so far from the shore." And so he said he learned back then to tread easy. But the part that I want to tell you about being at Kirtland Temple, and it was Brother Darwin read the story from Earl Curry. We had a service in the temple, and Earl Curry and Henry Schaefer and I presided over it. Of course, we were used to working with the kids. But that morning, both Henry and Brother Earl spoke to those kids under the influence of the Spirit. And then after they were through, and I thought, well, that's enough, but the Lord impressed me to also speak. And the main message that the Lord gave me was that both Henry and Earl had done a tremendous work in the church, but we still didn't have Zion. And you think of all of the tremendous people that you've known throughout your life that have done a marvelous work in the church, and still didn't have Zion. So what does that mean to us? We're trying as hard as we can, I guess. We think we are, anyway. But what more can we do? Shortly after we moved to Independence, I went to a priesthood meeting. It's over there on the church off of Liberty, where Brother Ray Zinser was speaking, and some of you probably knew Ray back in those days. And Brother Ray taught at Graceland, so some of you who went to Graceland might have ran into him. But Ray was a Zion preacher. He believed in Zion, he preached Zion, and he knew that Zion would be. And he said, "We have everything we need. We don't need money. We don't need buildings. The thing that's keeping us back is we just can't get along with one another." And is that still true? The main thing that's keeping us from building Zion is being able to get along with one another. And I know that there's been a lot of things happen in the last couple of years, last several years, with faction groups and different things happening with those of us who believe in the gospel, and it's reassuring to come here to Buckner, where you're trying to hold on to the teachings of the restoration, the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, even as it was set apart in 1860, and the things that were taught there. One of my failures, and I'm sad to say that my daughters had to be here this morning for me to say this. One of my failures is somehow I spent so much time working and learning. I went to night school for, I don't know, 15 years probably. And when I wasn't doing that, I was working on the house or working on a place. And somehow I didn't give my children the grasp of the importance of building Zion. And how important is it for us to each be a part of it? And how important it is for us to make that a priority in our life, that there's not a one of us, there's not one person here this morning that doesn't have an influence with someone, someplace. If it's your children, if it's your brother, if it's your sister, if it's your uncle, whatever it is. One more short story time. I was living down in Adrian, and a friend of mine called me and said that his dad, who lived down south of Adrian, had cancer, wasn't going to be, they'd only give him 2 months to live. And when he was growing up, they did, much like me, although I don't know that they were stricken with the poverty that I was, but he wasn't able to talk to his dad about religion, about church. And he was concerned about his dad, about how his dad felt, if he knew what he was getting into, if he knew about heaven or he knew about the Lord. And so he called me and asked me to go visit him. You know, I'm not too good with cold calls to people who I know, let alone go to someone that I don't know and talk to him about the Lord, whom I wasn't sure he even believed there was a Lord. But I went and talked to him, and I asked him, you know, how he felt about dying. If he had any relationship with the Lord. And you wouldn't believe this man. He began to share his testimony with me. And he said, Ray, he said, anybody who doesn't believe in God is a fool. He said he lived on a farm. And he says, when I'm driving my tractor, and I'm looking at the heavens, and I'm looking at the trees and the things around me, he says, you know, there has to be someone greater and bigger than us. And he says, yeah. He says, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of dying. He says, I look forward to what's there before, because I know there is someone. I know that there is a Savior. And this is a man who supposedly grew up his whole life without going to church. So sometimes when we're called to do something that is difficult, and I'm telling you, I was concerned about going to this guy because I didn't know how. I mean, his son couldn't talk to him. I was worried about if I could talk to him or not. But the Lord is mindful of each of us, and there is a job. I mean, if you are a mother, or a brother, or a father, or son, there's work for you to do with your children, with whoever. God is mindful, and we folks have got, we've got to do something different. And some of, you know, I was a convert to the church. I joined the church when I was 15 years old. And when I got my patriarchal blessing, I was 20 years old. I was 2 weeks short of being 20 years old. And you wouldn't believe the things that the Lord said to me in that blessing. And one of the things he said, I have waited for this day since your birth. And he began to tell me the things that had happened in my life. And I mean, this is a patriarch who only knew me from a couple of youth camps. And I have a beautiful patriarchal blessing from this man. And it grieves me some that some of the young people that are not able to get those patriarchal blessings today, or there are very few chances for them to get them. But the Lord is mindful of you, and the Lord has a plan for you. And he doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not willing to be there with us and to help us to do it. And one of the biggest things that happens to us, remember if you don't remember anything else I said this morning, It's God that we worship. It's God that we follow. God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul spent the latter part of his life declaring. Now, of course, not too many of us have been struck down like the Apostle Paul. But he spent the majority of his life saying, there is a God. And He has a Son, Jesus Christ, and I've met Him. And He wants to be a part of your life, and here's some things you need to do to be one of His people. And so we know about being baptized and repenting and coming into His presence and choosing Him, and He will be with us always. So I'm getting long-winded again. But anyway, the Lord loves each one of us. He wants each of you. He has a special job for each of us. And if we don't do it, if I don't do it, then it don't get done. You stop and think of, Noni's dad was a pastor when I first met her. And, and we were first married, and we lived in a little town. And whenever one of the guest ministers would come to town, they would stay with her folks. And, of course, when they would go out visiting, they'd take me with them. And, oh, man, I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to preach the gospel. But, you know, I can remember songs, but I read these scriptures over and over again, and I can remember them, but I can't quote them tell you where they're at. You know, and when they read, oh, yeah, I know that. I can tell you where 3 Nephi 2:97 is, because that's the one where I've been called by Jesus Christ to declare His word among His people, that they might have everlasting life. The point I want to make is when the Lord called His disciples, He called fishermen, He called lawyers, He called doctors, He called people of all different ways. And it finally dawned on me, and unfortunately just a few years back, that we're not all alike. And that's why He calls all of us that are different. Because my ministry is different than, I said in the class, and some of you guys start bringing up quotes and scriptures, and I think, wow, those guys are smart. And I'm a dummy, and I know that, except for the Lord has blessed me. And that's a whole two or three more sermons. That how the Lord has blessed me even in my livelihood throughout all these years. And I say that just to make you mindful that if you ask God, and you have not because you ask not, and if you ask, you shall receive. And don't give up, and don't tell Him what you want. Ask Him what He wants for you. And that's our problem. Lord, you know, I've got all this and I want you to bless it. Wait a minute. Lord, what do you want me to have? What do you want me to do? I want to be your servant. Allow me and bless me, and He will. My testimony is, in the first place, I could never believe or understand that I'd get this old. And I know this, some of the rest of you out here, the couple of you I know that are older than I am, but near to 80 years old, you'd think when I was 20, I never thought about being around for 80 years. But I have to say that the Lord has blessed me tremendously through all these years. And I hope to keep on kicking and hope to be able to serve Him in any way I can, and to serve you any way I can. I thank you for the way that you have greeted us, welcomed us, and accepted us in your branch, and hope that we can be a positive addition to this congregation. And we love each of you. And it's not hard to. And a lot of you, I look out there and I don't know your names. Some of your parents, and I've learned your names. but it'll be a while before I learn all that. I know Noah because I've known Noah for years, but I hope to know each of you. And if I can't say your name right, just know that I love you.
Our loving God, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we bow before you now in humble reverence to thy majesty and thy power. And we thank you, Father, for the magnificent beauty that you have revealed this day in the faces of these thy children who have come here to worship you. We have sensed your tears of joy in this hour. And we thank you, Father, for the bread of life that you have prepared and broken before us that has nourished our souls. We thank you, Father, for the living water that you have poured forth so freely that has quenched our thirst. And we thank you, Father, for the magnificent love with which you have filled this sanctuary this hour. And I offer now, Father, that great and powerful love
as a benedictory blessing upon this service. May we take that love and share it with the entire world, which stands so desperately in need. By the power of that love, may we learn to get along with each other. By that same love and the sharing of that love, may we bring on nothing but honor and glory unto you, our God, that thy kingdom might come upon this earth, that thy will might be done. And I pray, and I make this prayer, Father, in the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.